This is a dictation for Quarry Humphrey. Q-U-A-R-R-E-A. Quarry Humphrey. H-U-M-P-H-R-E-Y. Date of birth is 7/21/1979. Date of accident 5/5/2020. Date of service 1/19/2022. The patient is here for a follow-up evaluation. She was referred from Northland Radiology for further management of the pain and her issues. She was injured on 5/5/2020 in an automobile accident in which she was hit on a T-bone passenger side, and as a result, some headaches with the loss of memory, forgetfulness, confusion, loss of focus, lack of concentration, and fearful of the event started. Was seen at Beaumont Hospital on the day of accident, where all the X-ray CT scans were done and they were found to be negative. The patient has was then seen at Northland Radiology for more than a year and a half, the entire year of 2020 and 2021, and now she has been referred as of 9/22/2022 to advancement care. She has had various MRIs that showed issues in MRI of the cervical spine. A herniated disc at C3-4 and C4-5 was recognized. And there was a lesion that was found, oval-shaped circumcised lesion below the deep inside the right sternocleidomastoid muscle, for which she has been referred to her primary care physician for further follow-up. The lumbar spine shows a bulging disc at L4, L5 without any spinal stenosis. MRI for thoracic spine was completely negative. Right knee MRI showed patellar tendinopathy, proximal, and focal chondromalacia, patella grade 2, mild chondromalacia along the weight-bearing surface of the lateral tibial plateau, small knee effusion and popliteal cyst. MRI of the left knee showed patellar tendinopathy proximal and minimal knee joint effusion and thickening of the proximal middle collateral ligament. Right ankle did show talotibial joint effusion, minimal soft tissue contusion, which has all healed up and there are no pains anymore. The MRI for the left ankle showed a plantar fasciitis and non-specific bone marrow heterogeneity of distal tibia and lateral aspect of talus, along with talotibial joint effusion, but this area is completely pain-free. MRI of the brain showed a questionable 2 mm right middle cerebral artery aneurysm. She has been referred to a neurology for that issue. MRI of the brain was completely normal. CTA of the brain was completely normal also. All of these MRIs have been greatly discussed with the patient. The patient has not found a neurologist. She has been referred to a neurologist for her TBI, although she do not have very many symptoms of TBI at this time. She needs to find a private a neurologist who can take care of her health insurance to carry on with the monitoring of the aneurysm, and a primary care physician to carry out with the tumor or swelling under the sternocleidomastoid detected in the previous MRI. At this time, patient reports her pains are focused in the neck, mid-back, lower back to the tune of 10, and also in both shoulders. Pain in both the knees is also reported to be 10, and she has a difficult walking. She is using a cane, and she cannot walk even half a block. She has tense units, she has a back brace. Overall pain level is 10, and ADLs are affected 10, according to her. General activity, mood, walking ability, work, relationship with other people, sleep, and enjoyment of life are affected 10. She reported 0% relief in the pain. She also never wants any injection treatment. She doesn't want to see a surgeon. All she does is crying and tears, which I think she's exaggerating her pain levels. And it is not possible that after 2 years of injury, the accident happened on 5/5/2020, and here we are in January of 2023, that she has the same pain as it happened on the day of accident. But she refuses the treatment for injection treatment for cervical and lumbar, and she's seeing a chiropractor also. But I believe they have not also provided any injection, but she got better in the foot area and ankle area. System review. She has a moderate headaches, which are 3 to 4, sometimes 5, in a scale of 1 to 10, once a week, and they're not sensitive to light or noise. Not associated with any dizziness, vertigo, vision, disturbance, double vision, ear ringing, fainting, blackouts, and they are not associated with any loss of balance, loss of equilibrium, and loss of memory. And there is no confusion, disorientation. The patient has only mild anxiety, lack of focus, some sleeping difficulty. In the pain and numbness, patient has an ongoing shoulder stiffness bilaterally, neck stiffness, lower back stiffness associated with pain in both the shoulders, neck pain, upper back pain, mid back pain, and lower back pain. She also reports of pain in the right wrist and hand, and pain in both the knees, pain in both the ankle and foot, slight difficulty walking. She reports of being able to walk up to half a block with a cane. The GI patient has no nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, constipation, digestive problem, illness of the bowel, stomach pain, or any other issues like swallowing difficulty or blood in the stool. In the GU, there is no incontinence of the urine, frequency, painful urination, blood in the urine. In respiratory, there is no asthma, trouble breathing, chest pain, coughing, shortness of breath. In last 30 days, patient reports that there are no changes in the pain level, and there is no changes in the medical history, surgical history, hospitalization, weight loss, or any other trauma. Current pain medications are narcos, and substance abuse none is reported. Been advised about marijuana compliance history. Patient is fully compliant to the pain medication regimen. Physical examination: the blood pressure is 168/106, pulse is 66, pulse ox is 100. The rest of the exam will be from previous visit, which is January 4, 2022, dictation number 0109-001. Diagnosis is the same. Plan of care is as follows. Patient can continue physical therapy once a week. We have requested the physical therapy department to send PT evaluation and recertification from the therapist, see if the patient even requires more therapy. She's continuing to see a chiropractor, Dr. Mustafa. She's supposed to have a therapy on neck, lower back, and sacroiliac joints, and both knees. The shoulder-wise, she is able to lift her shoulders pretty normally. A traction massage, aquatherapy, gait training are advised. Patient has been advised about injection treatments, surgical options, as well as yoga, meditation, and home treatments. Regarding the disability, patient is released to 7 hours, 7 days, 7 pounds, restriction with light duty, and no other restrictions are advised. Regarding medication, patient is provided Norco 7.5/25 once a day, 15 tablets, and MAPS for review, LEVS for review. The patient was advised injections of right and left intra-articular knee, as well as superior or proximal and distal patellar tendon that are being done today. The procedure dictation is as follows. The procedures that are being done on Quaria Humphrey is on 1/19/2022 as follows. First procedure is intra-articular injection of right knee, injection of the proximal patellar tendon, injection of the distal patellar tendon, then injection of the left intra-articular left knee with steroid, injection of the proximal tendon, patellar tendon on the left side, and injection of the distal patellar tendon on the right side. The surgical indications or the indications for such procedures are based on the ongoing pain, 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, difficulty walking, and pains have been continuing since 5/5/2020, despite the physical therapy, chiropractor, and other conservative treatment, patient has not shown any improvement. MRIs are found positive with the involvement of effusion inside the knee joint bilaterally, as well as involvement of the proximal patellar tendinopathy and chondromalacia patella grade 2 along the lateral facet. However, there is no meniscus. Popliteal cyst is also found. Medial collateral ligament is thickened, and hence the injections with steroid and Marcan are expected to bring reasonable results. The procedure for intra-articular injection of the right knee and intra-articular injection of the left knee were done as per protocol. The injection of the superior proximal or superior patellar tendon and distal patellar tendon are done as follows. After the intra-articular injections were achieved for each side, the patellar tendon was identified superior to the kneecap and inferior to the kneecap and was properly marked. After achieving asepsis and proper drapes, the injection of 5 cc's of dexamethasone with Marcan was injected into each of the proximal tendon, patellar tendon on both sides and inferior part of the patellar tendon on both sides. Entire needle was withdrawn, band-aids were applied, and patient reported great relief. And that is the end of, and the patient left the office in a stable condition. A female chaperone was provided. Her name was Amina Sultana, for this procedure. Thank you.